Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
What's it going to take for me to get you an electric car this week?
Oh, you can get one for me anytime you like. I'm not going to stop you.
Sound like a salesman, but let's be honest. Anyone that has an electric car, they do all the salesmanship pitches for you. Like, we know someone who has, like, strikes one and two right there. Electric car, lived in Canberra. Because people in Canberra always convince you to live in Canberra. People with electric cars try and convince you to buy an electric car.
Mm.
But I tell you what, it turns out the last 12 months, though, there's been a huge surge when it comes to electric cars. People are buying them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're environmentally friendly, so I've been told.
Yeah.
Although I still have questions about the lithium batteries that are in cars, like the how they're sourced, like the mining involved with that, and what happens to them down the track. So they're the questions I still have about electric cars, but they make much more sense than the, you know, polluting internal combustion engines that we've been driving around for so long.
Yeah. When I first saw an electric car a couple of years ago, a Tesla one, I felt like a fool. Really did. Because all of a sudden I'm like, where's the motor? And there's like, oh, there's no motor. It's just a giant battery. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like the first person who ever saw a motor car back in the day, like, where's the horses? Where are they?
Yeah, when you first hear it, that's what really throws you. Like our friend who had the electric car, she had a Tesla.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when is it on? She's like, yeah.
Is it moving?
What?
Is it neutral?
What's happening?
That would be a bit of a problem, wouldn't it? Mm. But as I mentioned, it looks like a lot of people are investing in the old electric car as well. And it turns out these models are the most popular.
New figures show the Tesla Model 3 was the most popular sedan last year, beating established favourites like Toyota's Camry and Corolla, the Kia Cerato and the Mazda 3. Australian drivers bought more than 15,000 Tesla Model 3s last year. They started almost $63,000.
There it is. That's okay. The kick in the nuts at the end. You're like, whoa, can't afford that.
And this is my main issue with it. Like other countries, the governments have really tried to encourage people to take up the electric cars by offering subsidies and things like that. Here in Australia, it's kind of feels like the opposite.
Yeah, I'd be all for an electric car if it's affordable. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I'm one of those people, you've seen the car I drive, I don't care what it looks like as long as it gets me from A to B.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these people that cares about what this car looks like.
And I would like to drive a car that is more friendly towards the environment, but if it costs me $63,000, the closest I'll get is to cutting a hole in the bottom of my Camry and just Flintstoning around.
Exactly,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? That's all I can do.
Yeah, apparently the Teslas and other electric cars are around $10 to $20, I think, a week. You can sort of stretch it out. So it's a lot cheaper than, you know, we've seen the price of petrol go through the roof recently, but I reckon they've come quite a long way though in the last 10 years when it comes to electric car.
In 10 years, the number of electric and hybrid cars sold in Australia has risen dramatically from fewer than 50 to 24,000. And for those in the market, the current wait time is around 6 months.
So I would like one of these. Our friend that had one had to wait, I think, maybe even longer. It was like 12 months.
It was a long time, yeah.
When's the car finally going to get here?
Mm.
The biggest problem I would find with electric car would be if something were to go wrong with it. Not that I know much mechanical knowledge now about a car, but it's like, I can't imagine you could just take it down to your local mechanic. It'd have to go to a special mechanic. It'd probably cost a fortune.
Well, and the problem is, as well, as a bloke, you can't open the bonnet
no.
of your Tesla and pretend what you know what you're doing with the
yes,
engine, because
it's a boot.
There is no engine. There's nothing there.
Exactly.
You can't be like, oh, looks like there's a problem with the dipstick. There's nothing to look at.
And then there's the next problem as well. It's like, if you are stranded on the side of the road, who do you call? You call NRMA, like, they're probably not going to help you.
You get the roadside assistance guy show up and go like, mate, I'm bugging him. I know.
I've got a calculator. This could maybe help you out. But it's like a computer on wheels. So I imagine instead of calling the NRMA or somewhere like that, you'd probably have to call like IT or tech support.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, no one wants to deal with these guys. You'd probably try and call them up and tell them what's wrong with the car and you'd get something like this back.
Hello, IT? Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
I wish we hadn't left the TV on last night because...
You got baited, didn't you?
Oh, we were very busy last night. Like, we actually didn't sit on the couch and watch TV. It was just in the background after we watched the news, right? So it's on Channel 9. And next thing, I'm walking through and Married at First Sight is on. First show for the new season. And as I'm walking past, I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Because I never watched this show. But next thing you know, it's half an hour later.
You're doing some rubbernecking, and I respect you for not watching that show. Now you've lost an ounce of respect from me.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I've lost years off my life. They introduced some new couples. You had Celine and Anthony. Celine's a single mum. Anthony's a single dad.
Okay.
Their eyes met, bam. They're instantly in love. They're flipping adorable. So you're like, oh, they're in good shape. That's all good. But then they introduced us to this other couple, Brent and Tamara. So Brent is this 33-year-old hospitality specialist, whatever that means.
Does he cater special events or something? I don't know.
Apparently he does stuff for nightclubs. He organizes parties for nightclubs. And he was tying the knot with our 29-year-old operations manager. Again, another vague title.
Yep.
Tamara. And at first, you think maybe Brent will be the weird one in the relationship. You know how there's always one that's like that's the bad egg sort of thing? Because he was going on about how he has a phobia of dirty feet.
Okay.
And then, of course, what do they do? The photographer asks them to create the Cinderella moment where he's putting the slipper onto Tamara's foot. But he was okay with that.
Yeah.
But at first, you're like, oh, okay, Brent must be the one that's going to cause the drama in the relationship. But no. Tamara. Holy smoke. So they've just got married. They're sitting down for the wedding dinner. Straight away, Tamara is on Brent's back about the way he holds a fork.
You're left-handed.
Yes, but see, and I'm right-handed. It doesn't matter. They're placed on the left and the right.
If you think about in a split second, I'm going to change my whole way of how I use a fork. Can't happen overnight. Come on.
His right hand was just stabbing at his food. It was just a bit like caveman-ish. And that's not okay.
Oh, God.
Is he going to do the same when they go to like a Chinese restaurant and he's using chopsticks? Chopsticks are in the other hand. What are you talking about, woman?
Yeah, I'm one of these people where actually I'm right-handed, but I don't have the knife in my right hand. I have the knife in my left and I have the fork in my right. I don't know if that's normal or backwards. Or
I do eat the way the cutlery is set out. So I do eat the way Tamara wants Brent to eat. But who cares?
It doesn't matter. That's a deal breaker, is it already?
Apparently. I don't know. But anyway, dinner sort of wrapped up and then later that night.
It's so hard.
Push, that's it, and bring it down.
Okay, that's not them consummating the marriage, by the way. That was them trying to cut a slice of their wedding cake.
Okay.
It's this big wedding cake. Icing's very thick, okay? It's sometimes it's hard to penetrate the surface of a wedding cake. So they're both holding the knife together.
Yep.
And then Tamara realizes the reason why it's so hard to cut the cake. It's because the knife's upside down.
Oh, my God, I was cutting with the knife upside down.
Okay. How ironic.
Rookie mistake, first time cutting a wedding cake, you're nervous, I understand. The next bit, though, is what I couldn't get past, because Tamara, again, starts laying into Brent, blaming him for giving her the knife the wrong way.
I'm doing a good job. It was because you passed me the knife upside down, own it. It's your fault.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You passed it to me upside down, so I look like an idiot cutting it this way. He gave me the knife the wrong way around. Just say, I passed the knife to you upside down, it's my fault.
This is like, what, if he gave it to you blade first and you just grabbed the blade and there's blood everywhere, you go, oh, that's your fault for doing that. Surely you know how to hold a knife. And Brent's like, no, I'm not taking the blame for this.
Good,
I'm like,
good,
this is all on video. Can't you, it should be like the tennis. Can't you go to the video ref and go, can we have a look at that?
Hawkeye, have a look at it.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, just incredible. And I'm like, I've had enough of this already. We're 20 minutes in. I can't stand this. So I go off to do some laundry and stuff. I'll bring some clothes in from the line, do some other stuff, get the puppy, into her bed. I come back. I swear to God, it's 15 minutes later. Tamara's still going on about it.
You gave me the knife the wrong way around. Why don't you just say sorry for that? Why can't you just say sorry for passing it the wrong way?
Oh, my God.
And Brent's like, oh, what is happening? And he's like, if I was him, I'd be like, you know what? You can keep the knife and you can also go fork yourself as well.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Twitter has seen some epic battles since its inception. You know, recently you'd say Novak Djokovic and probably the whole of Australia. You've got Donald Trump and probably the whole of the world. And now another one.
Trying to convince the world that covfefe is a real word.
I stand by my words. And I'd probably say the last 6 months, another one has been quite big in the world, but it's only really come to the surface as of now. This one is between 50-odd-year-old billionaire, trillionaire Elon Musk and a 19-year-old from Florida named Jack Sweeney in the US of A.
Okay.
So this one is basically this kid, this 19-year-old, he's still at university and he seems to be a bit of a tech whiz, is basically pulling down the pants of Elon Musk. He's actually created an account on Twitter called ElonJet. It's got more than 150,000 followers, and he's used a whole bunch of bots that he's developed to monitor Elon Musk's private jet. So he knows exactly where that jet is all the time.
For what purpose?
I have no idea. I think just to probably try and impress Mr. Elon Musk. Maybe he's looking for a job or something. But
this is stalking, isn't it? This is very creepy.
Absolutely
stalking.
What is
Jack doing?
It doesn't stop just there, though, either. Because he's actually got bots that actually track the whereabouts of other private jets, including Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos.
Okay. An unusual hobby, but you've got some people that love just watching trains.
I know.
And that's their hobby. So, you know, who am I to judge?
Safe to say, though, he's got Elon Musk's attention. Late last year, finally, Elon Musk sent a message saying, look, mate, can you take this down? Because this is actually a security risk. I don't want nutters knowing exactly where I am all the time.
That was my first thought, especially if, like, Elon Musk, he's got a new baby and everything. Like, all these billionaires are at risk of being held to ransom if someone, like, kidnaps a family member. Like, this sort of stuff happens all the time. So
yeah, I think this guy's trying to basically impress him in a certain nature. I don't think it's working too well at the moment. It even got to the stage where recently Elon Musk was like, all right, I suppose you want something just to prove you've outdone me in something. So I'll give you $7,000 if you just stop doing this right now.
It's like, Elon, mate, he obviously has an interest in you. He's following your private jet. He knows what you're worth.
Exactly.
$7,000 is a drop in the ocean when it comes to your bank account.
Yeah, that's why I would imagine if the two are negotiating, it'd probably sound a little bit like this, I would imagine.
$55,537. Higher.
Yeah, he's like, that's not going to wash, buddy.
As if you would accept that amount. Good stuff.
So $7,000. He's like, no, thank you. Mm. His counteroffer, he's asking for $71,000.
Is that all?
I know. He's like, I'm not being greedy. Just money to get through college and maybe a Tesla Model 3.
Okay.
Just to sweeten the deal.
Sure, yeah.
Elon Musk, obviously, is just having none of this at this stage here. So, and then the next offer, he's like, hang on a sec. Maybe I would settle for an internship. So now he's like, he's even going down. He's haggling his own price down now.
That seems like a step back. Yeah. It's
exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? You're going to end up cleaning toilets at Tesla or something, you know, if you get an internship. It's not like Elon's going to promote someone like you who's basically extorting him.
Exactly. And it's even gotten to the stage where this guy's actually feeling a little bit sorry for Elon and actually told him about a blocking program he can use to sort of counter exactly what he's doing. So he's
I
am.
I can shut this off with the push of a button.
I can help you out. So he said he gave it to him, but secretly he still has other things around it. So I don't know what he's trying to do, what kind of a game he's playing here. But I have to say, luckily, it's just the billionaire's private jets that he's tracking at the moment because, you know, if it got to the next level, you know, he's tracking Bill Gates's jet, Jeff Bezos's jet. Imagine if he was tracking Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin. You know what I mean? Seeing exactly where that thing's going, it looks a little bit phallic. I'd imagine it'd be hard to keep a straight face watching this thing through the air.
Willie?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, it looks like a giant...
Johnson. Yes, sir. Get on the horn to British intelligence and let them know about this.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.